thanks for listening to this sermon from Redemption Church. Redemption exists to help you wake up to a deep, meaningful life in Christ. For more information, please visit redemptionedmond.com.
The scripture this morning is Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Tate, and I am the minister of students here at Redemption. And this is my first time teaching on a Sunday morning. And Jeff is on sabbatical, as you all know. So if this goes good, please be sure to let him know so I can get back up here again. And if it doesn't go good, we can keep that to ourselves. No, I'm kidding. This morning is what we call a prayer and worship Sunday, where we have an extended time of worship and a shortened teaching time. Really, our hope is that this can be a morning where you feel refreshed and restored in your relationship with Christ, into a deep, meaningful life in Christ. And we're still in the series that we've been in called The God We Worship, where so far we've been looking at who God is and what he's like through the book of Psalms. And this morning, I want to give a testimony of Psalm 32. This is a psalm that's been used in powerful ways in my life and the lesson that it teaches. But first, I want to mention Psalm 1, which is a passage most of us here are going to be familiar with, and it shows us two paths, two ways of life. And there's the righteous path that leads to the blessed life, and the wicked path or wicked way of life that leads to destruction. But what are we supposed to do if we find ourselves at different moments in our life walking down both of these paths? Psalm 1 doesn't tell us, but this is where Psalm 32 enters in, and it shows us another way to the blessed life, a way that is accessible for those of us who have failed, who have been wicked. And this is my story, that I have failed, I have been wicked. I came to faith when I was 19 years old in a small group of young men in Denton, Texas. It was a part of a college ministry I'd started attending, and it was in this small group that I witnessed sin being confessed for the first time. And this was transformative for me because my whole life I tried really hard just to be good. I'd gone to youth group when I was in high school, and I tried with all my strength to not sin. But I had one big problem. I would always fail. It didn't matter how hard I tried, I would eventually find myself giving in to sexual sin or lying to make myself look better or just tearing other people down behind their back. And the only thing I knew to do when I did fail was hide. I didn't want the people around me to realize that I was this fraud of a Christian who said one thing and did another. So I would hide my sin both horizontally from the people around me, but also vertically from God. And this pattern of trying, failing, and hiding continued my whole life until this small group when I was 19 years old. Here I saw faithful believers, the guys who were leading Bible studies and sharing their faith regularly, who I looked up to, openly confessing to the ways they failed in their pursuit of Christ. And they weren't met with condemnation or anger, but with grace. And it was something really similar to the first two verses of Psalm 32, which says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." My friends were reminding each other of the gospel, that we have failed and we have sinned against a holy God, yet received forgiveness anyway. In this display of faithfulness and vulnerability on behalf of my friends encouraged me to be honest for the first time to myself and to the people around me and to God about the ways that I had sinned and the mess that I had made of my life. And After close to an hour of completely oversharing and taking all of our small group time that evening, I was met with grace, not condemnation. And then a few months into following the Lord, I remember walking into church one morning just feeling burdened. I had failed. I had sinned that week, and I don't remember how I had failed, but I do remember making this resolution that I was going to take this thing with me to the grave. I was never going to tell anybody about this sin, and it was crushing me. And I walked into church that morning. I saw a friend that I deeply trusted, and I just asked if I could confess to him. And almost immediately, he opened up his Bible to this passage, Psalm 32, and we just read through it together, and there was something transcendent about the language of this passage that just resonated with the situation that I was in, and I remember feeling restored. I had tried to hide my sin, thinking that there was nothing worse than people finding out who I really was, but in reality, freedom was found through honesty. And Psalm 32 is labeled in your Bible as a maskil of David. And a maskil is a type of psalm that's meant to impart a lesson. And the lesson of Psalm 32 is this. Be honest. Because there's agony in hidden, unconfessed sin. And this lesson is really hard for us to grasp. Because this pattern of trying, failing, and hiding is something that on some level all of us struggle with. And it doesn't magically go away when you become a Christian, right? David wrote this psalm likely in connection to his sin with Bathsheba. And in that scenario, he'd gone to extreme lengths to hide his sin. And it was ruining him. We feel like, I think the longer we follow Christ, in some ways, this temptation to hide our failures can grow. Right? We feel like we have to have everything put together. We have more to lose. Maybe you've gotten married after you became a Christian, or maybe you started serving in some capacity at the church, or you just feel like this sin was okay when I was a new believer, but there's no way if I confess now, people would extend grace to me. And I want to tell you, friends, that's a lie, that we have a God who forgives, and it doesn't matter how you've fallen short. Verse 5 of Psalm 32 says, I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. How can God forgive the iniquity of our worst sins? 1 Peter 2:24 says, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. The reason we can confess our sins to God who forgives is because Christ has taken all of our sins on the cross. It's not just our past sins. It's not sins up to a certain level and then grace runs out, but 100% of our sins were taken by Christ. And for us to experience this 100% total forgiveness, we get to confess, both before the Lord and before others. And that's what I want to practice this morning, is we're going to have some time where you can just, before the Lord, confess and reflect on your life. And before we go to the table and partake in communion, we're going to have time to individually sit before our God who forgives. The worship team's going to come back up here. We're just going to have some time with our Father. And this is a time where you can be painfully honest about the ways that you've fallen short. If you've been walking through a season of hidden sin, and you've been experiencing the pain that comes along with that, there is a way out. And that way out is through confession, right? Through bringing your sin into the light. And then you too can experience the blessed life that we have in Christ. A life without condemnation. And maybe you're here this morning and you're like, man, I'm not struggling with any huge hidden sins in my life. And if that's the case, awesome. Praise God for that. That's amazing. But there's always areas where we can experience more of the grace that Christ has to offer. So I just encourage you to pray something like this. God, how have I fallen short of the perfect standard that Jesus has set for us? And I've prayed a prayer like this many times in my life, and I've never drawn a blank. There's always areas where we can experience more grace and forgiveness. James 5:16 tells us that we are to confess to one another and pray. And so if you have been walking through a season of hidden sin and it's been weighing on you, come find one of us on staff or somebody you trust, and we'd love nothing more than to pray for you so that you can experience the same kind of restoration that I experienced the first time that I read this psalm. All right, let's pray together. Lord, you are a God who forgives. It doesn't matter how we've fallen short. We've fallen short in almost every way, yet you still love us. God, I pray that you remind us that you've taken the punishment for our failures and transgressions so that we can walk into a blessed life in Christ. Give us the courage to be honest with ourselves, with our community, and with you about the ways that we failed. That we would really look at ourselves for a moment, but not stop there. That we would look back to you, look back to the cross and what you've done to demonstrate your love for us. And that we would know that we are forgiven. We're going to continue in this time of reflection and prayer and confession before we go to the table and remind ourselves of what you've done for us.